RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by Voy Green and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo leads close meeting on arch-related outlet bill. Tourism minister targets tourism as the biggest source of foreign exchange. Forest law enforcement, governments and trade flat negotiation between Indonesia and European Union has reached final stage. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo chaired a close meeting to discuss about the arch-related outlet, or locally called Wawasan Nusantara bill, at his office on Tuesday. President Joko Widodo initially wanted the meeting to be held at the Bogor Palace, but decided to move it to the Prudential Palace in Jakarta. The meeting began at around 2 a.m. local time, attended by a number of his ministers, including Coordinating Minister for Resources and Maritime Rizal Ramli, Law and Human Rights Minister Yasona Lawli, Defense Minister Riamizat Riacudu, Education Minister Anies Baswedan, Youth and Sport Minister Iman Arhawi, State Secretary Pratikno, and the Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung. The government, President Joko Widodo said, appreciate the DPD's initiative as the law on the archipelago is very important for Indonesia, the largest archipelago in the world. The President also instructed the Home Affairs Minister, the Law and Human Rights Minister and Defense Minister and Foreign Affairs Minister to learn comprehensively about the urgency, proposed benefits and the implication regarding the substance of the bill. Tourism Minister Arief Yahya said that Indonesian tourism sector can be the biggest source of foreign exchange in 2020, overtaking oil and gas commodities. He said on Tuesday that Indonesia had potential in tourism. Currently, the oil and gas sector remains as the largest source of foreign exchange with $30 billion, followed by palm oil sector at the second place with $17 billion, while the tourism stands at the third position with $11 billion. Minister Arief also predicted that in the next few years, the tourism sector would be able to generate $40 million of foreign exchange. Nevertheless, he admitted that there are many things that must be done to achieve the target, especially promoting and developing tourism facilities. Indonesian Financial Service Authority (OJK) announces that two Indonesian issuers are nominated ASEAN's top 50 issuers with the best good corporate governance (GCG) practice. The list is released by ASEAN Capital Market Forum (ACMF), which took place in Manila on Saturday. As reported by Tempo.co on Tuesday, Nur Hadia, OJK Executive Director of Capital Market Supervision, said the two issuers are PT Bank Danamond Tbk and PT Bank CIMB Niaga Tbk. Despite there being two companies in the list, Nur Hadia said Indonesia still lost from Thailand, who managed to put 23 issuers. Meanwhile, Malaysia managed to enter 6 issuers. The rest of the spot are taken by Singapore and the Philippines. Right now, Nureda said, Indonesian issuers have an average score of 80, below neighboring countries 90. The OJK aims to put more issuers on the list. The guide was launched to help Indonesian issuers improve their GCG score. The implementation of Timber Legality Verification System (SVLK) became an important part of efforts to improve forest governance in the country, to prevent illegal logging and encroachment and forest fires. On the other hand, SPLK implementation can also improve the competitiveness of Indonesian timber products in international markets. It was raised in a discussion on strengthening export opportunities and protecting forest sustainability in Jakarta on Tuesday. Those present at the discussion were Assistant Deputy Minister for Forestry and the Economic Affairs Ministry, Prabianto Muktiwibowo, the Minister of Director General for Sustainable Production Forest Management, Putra Partama, and Deputy Director for Indonesia and European Union Cooperation, Minister of Foreign Affairs, Rio Budi Hermanto. On that question, Rio Budi Hermanto said that forest law enforcement governance trade or flat negotiation between Indonesia and European Union have reached the final stage.
Dari pembahasan kita dengan Indonesia dan Uni Eropa sudah berlangsung cukup lama dan sudah
Indonesia and European Union have long discussed that, and the discussion has reached the final stage. Hopefully, the forest law enforcement governance trade flat and voluntary partnership agreement, VPA, can be launched with the name of flat license. After flat license already implemented, then SVLK will be as good as passport for the European Union. We sincerely hope that it will provide a real incentive to the market. Meanwhile, Prabianto said the export of Indonesian wood products saw an increasing trend to almost all countries since SPLK is implemented. It proves that SPLK is able to improve the competitiveness of national forestry products. Based on the data, furniture export this year reached total value of $10.3 billion. It is higher than $6 billion export of the previous year. Chairman of the National Mandate Party or PAN, Zulkifli Hasan, has confirmed that the party will support President Joko Widodo's administration. PAN, according to Zulkifli, will continue to support President Joko Widodo even the party did not receive any seats in the cabinet. Zulkifli said after a meeting with Megawati Soekarnoputri residence on Tuesday, the meeting was held to discuss cooperation between parties supporting government. Zulkifli added that it would be irrelevant to choose between the Red and White Coalition and the Great Indonesian Coalition after a president has been elected. Indonesia will encourage the concept of tariff reduction from trade of products that contribute to rural development, poverty alleviation, or development goods, which a moderate and progressive approach that will be approved by member countries of Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, APEC. Indonesian Trade Minister Thomas Lembon, after the APEC ministerial meeting in Manila, on Tuesday said currently the world entering the 21st century where traditional approaches are no longer to be done. However, it much better if the approach is mutually beneficial for the member countries of APEC. Minister Thomas Lembon explained moderate and progressive approach is no longer incorporate commodities such as palm oil and rubber to be more concerned to the products that have more values. The last item, Environment Agency of North Sumatra Province, BLJ, North Sumatra and Japan International Cooperation Agency, JICA, started this month their cooperation in environmentally friendly domestic wastewater treatment. The first step of the cooperation is the installment of 2 units of made in Japan domestic wastewater treatment tank, or Jokashu. The tanks will be installed in 2 locations, Lemmy State Elementary School in Maryland and official residence of Animal Husbandry Office in Medan. Head of the Environment Agency of North Sumatra Province, Hidayati, said pollution caused by domestic waste water in North Sumatra has not been controlled truly. It requires, therefore, environmentally friendly waste water treatment.
Pencemaran limbah domestik di Sumatera Utara khususnya di
pollution Indonesia from domestic waste in North Sumatra, Indonesia in general are not controlled properly. We could see septic tank in our house was still directly contacted with the environment, ambient, namely soil, air, and water without protection. So we cannot remain silent. We must make efforts. We cooperate with Japan to implement environment-friendly domestic wastewater treatment, Jokashu. According to Hidayati, Environment Agency of North Sumatra Province is planning to install several Jokashu in the areas near the Delhi River and Lake Toba to solve water pollution from domestic wastewater. 2 units of Jokashu, which are scheduled to be installed in January 2016, will go through a feasibility study. This is because Jokashu is designed for countries with 4 seasons. Wastewater expert from JICA, Yoshiata Ebi, said Jokashu could process wastewater from bathroom, toilet, kitchen, and washer to be safely discharged into waters. The result of the previous study is expected to support the efforts to produce Jokashu suitable for the climate and habit of Indonesian people.
We are talking about not only sanitation, but also water pollution. So the target wastewater is not from the restroom, but also the kitchen, washing machine, all the domestic wastewater should be treated to protect water bodies. So anyway, we need to know the characteristics of the domestic wastewater, the localize the Jokaso. That's the main purpose of this project.
Next month, Environment Agency of North Sumatra Province and JICA will prepare the installment of environmentally friendly wastewater treatment tanks, Jokaso. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener Hero's commentary, entitled APEC Summit Meeting Overshadowed Security Issue. 21 leaders of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation or APEC member countries on Wednesday, November 18, 2015, is holding a summit in Manila, Philippines. Despite trading cooperation as the main topic, it cannot be denied that terrorist attack in Paris will become their main topic of discussion. Most of the APEC members, such as US President Obama and Chinese President Xi Jinping, directly left the G20 meeting in Turkey into Manila. In the G20 meeting, the main focus of discussion was also about ISIS terrorist attack in Paris and reconciliation in Syria, though G20 is the same as APEC. The attack in Paris also affected Manila. The local government involved more than 20,000 security personnel to secure the APEC summit meeting. It has been predicted that security issues will dominate this summit meeting. Moreover, a few APEC members, namely China, Vietnam, Philippines, and Malaysia, were involved in the South China Sea issue. China claimed that almost the whole zone of South China Sea has abundant natural resources and it is the route for commercial ships worth approximately US $5 billion per year. These countries even have done island reclamation and construction in the disputed islands. The Philippines President Benigno Aquino promised to be a good host for President Xi Jinping by excluding the South China Sea issue in the summit agenda. However, President Benigno Aquino is clever enough to take advantages from the APEC meeting to seek allies in facing China. Vietnam and the Philippines are the most vocal to challenge over China's domination in the South China Sea by signing strategic partnership agreement on Tuesday, November 17, 2015 on politics, economics and security. This strategic partnership reflected the tighter relationship between Vietnam and the Philippines because they share the same concern about the South China Sea. On the same day, President Obama visited Philippines' naval fleet made by the United States, Gregorio Del Pilar, assigned to secure APEC in Manila Gulf. According to Obama's staff, the visit asserted the U.S. commitment to secure the South China Sea. Previously, the construction of artificial islands in South China Sea by China near the Philippines has triggered the U.S. military's presence in the zone. It is expected that the agendas beyond this meeting will not offend China, which is rigorously contended that the APEC summit should only discuss trading issues. Well, listener, that was commentary.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past, as recorded in history. And we start from November 18, 1912, Kyai Haji Ahmad Dahlan builds Muhammadiyah in Yogyakarta. Muhammadiyah is one of the largest and most influential religious organizations in Indonesia, founded by Kyai Haji Ahmad Dahlan. He is a pioneer and the father of Islamic reform. He founded the Muhammadiyah is not only as a political organization, but also as a social and religious organization working in the field of education. Kyai Haji Ahmad Dahlan built Muhammadiyah organization to implement the ideals of renewal of Islam in the archipelago. He wants to hold a renewal in the way of thinking and work under the guidance of Islam. Ahmad Dahlan would like to invite Indonesian Muslims to return to the life in according with
a guidance of the Quran and Hadith, for his services to raise awareness of the nation through the Islamic reform and education. The Indonesian government designated him as a national hero by the Presidential Decree No. 657 of 1961. On November 18, 1993, 21 political parties in South Africa agreed to form a new constitution. Amidst the spirit of Mandela patriotism, South Africa succeeded in ending the apartheid regime that gripped Africa, which has lasted about 30 years. Then on November 18, 1993, 21 parties in South Africa approved a new constitution, which is considered democratic for South Africa, namely interim constitution. It is called the interim constitution because it would set up a more permanent constitution and form a hari like the interim constitution. The constitution, which was adopted in 1993, changed the parliament into a bicameral system, which consisted of the National Assembly and the National Council of Parliament or Senate. The interim constitution also includes the Bill of Rights, the changing tricameral into bicameral system, and the inclusion of the Bill of Rights is considered as the foundation for a new democratic life in South Africa. And we conclude today's segment of Today in History with an event on November 18, 2004, the signing of Russian ratification at Kyoto Protocol. Kyoto Protocol to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change is a legal agreement whereas industrial countries will lower their greenhouse gas emission collectively to 5.2% compared with in 1990. It was aimed at lowering emission from 6 greenhouse gases, namely carbon dioxide, methane, nitrous oxide, sulfur, hexafluoride, HFC, and PFC. The countries that ratified the protocol committed to lowering greenhouse gas emission or cooperating in lowering emission. The Kyoto Protocol was agreed in Kyoto in December 1997, then opened for the signing on March 16, 1998. Once it was officially ratified, implemented by Russia on November 18, 2004, the Kyoto Protocol was eventually came into force on February 16, 2005. Well, listener, that was today's segment of Today in History. See you tomorrow with other historical events. Goodbye for now.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Voy Green. Today's edition, we take you to talk about LIPI reveals biodiversity in Enggano Island. The Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI informs biodiversity in Enggano Island to Enggano local people and Bengkulu regional government in the Enggano Symposium 2015 in Bengkulu City. The Enggano Symposium 2015, which was held by LIPI on November 18th to 17th, 2015, with the theme Enggano, Nature and its Human. The symposium was attended by researchers and academicians, students and public. Head of LIPI Iskandar Zulkarnain, when opening the symposium on Monday, said there are 14 new species of flora and fauna that were found during the expedition of Widya Nusantara in Enggano Island. the expedition, which has been organized for 20 days in March 2015, involved researchers from Biological Research Center, Biotechnology Research Center, Plantation Conservation Center of Bogor Botanical Garden, and Biomaterial Research Center. According to Zulkarnain, the uniqueness of Enggano Island, it is separated from Sumatra Island, so that the richness of the island also very high. The finding could be more increased because there are many species of flora and fauna need to be observed in the island that adjacent to Indian Ocean. LIPI has handed the result of Enggano biodiversity research to the governments of North Bengkulu Regency and Bengkulu Province to be used as an input in policy making related to the development of Enggano Island. Meanwhile, Mulyadi Kauno, head of Kauno Ethnic, one of six ethnics in Enggano Island, said, "The result of research added information for the people to keep preservation of flora and fauna in the island. The people have committed to keep preservation of the richness of biodiversity in the region. Enggano Island is an outer island which has the distance of 106 miles from Bengkulu. The land area reaches 40,000 hectares, which is inhabited by 2,800 people from five indigenous tribes, namely Kauno, Kaharuba, Kaharubi, Kaahua, and Kaitora." Head of Biological Research Center of LIPI, Wicaksono, stated that exploration which was conducted by LIPI has informed current condition from bioresources and cultural social aspect in Enggano. The researchers of LIPI successfully presented new findings, including the spread of flora, fauna, and new microbes as endemic species of Enggano, which have higher potential to be developed as material of food, health, and energy. Wicaksono added, "The symposium is important to be organized as a forum to meet the researchers, regional governments, forest managers, the local people, and other important elements as well, to initiate the policy and management model of Enggano Island." He also said, after Enggano exploration, the island is expected to promote Bengkulu tourism that will bring chain reaction to the development of people's economy. Listener, that was Voy Green. Thank you for listening.
Listener, here's the headlines of several national newspapers published today, November 18, 2015. We begin with the headlines with Kompas, which wrote President has evidence. President Joko Widodo had found out and held evidence of several people involved using his name for asking several things from PT Freeport Indonesia. The president also knew the real issue of the case. Meanwhile, the National Police Chief General Badruddin Haiti said he is ready to accept anybody feeling disadvantaged in the case. However, the case can be investigated directly if special instruction along with strong evidences is available. We continue with Media Indonesia. Novanto lawsuit processed. Name profiteering case of President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla allegedly was done by the Chairman of the House, Setia Novanto, related to the contract extension of PT Freeport Indonesia is on progress. The demand for legal proceedings is increasing. Vice President Yusuf Kalla in Jakarta on Tuesday said, even the government is considering legal steps against the Golkar party politician. According to the Vice President, he is waiting for the process in the House. He hoped the process in the House Ethics Council can go on objectively. Meanwhile, Sindo in its headline wrote, Attorney General withdraws prosecutor of social assistance case. The Attorney General Office suddenly withdrew the prosecutor team head of the social assistance bribery allegation involving Patrice Rio Capella and O.J. Kaligis as the defendants. The AGO claimed the withdrawal is for job promotion, while many suspected the move was to obstruct the investigation process. We end today's headlines with Business Indonesia. Banks wait lower BI rate. Although Bank Indonesia had relocated the monetary policy through the minimum reserve requirement decrease, bankers still wait for the BI rate to lower down that can effectively cut the credit interest, thus increasing new loan demand. The expectation was contrary to the central bank's action that chose macroprudential policy relocation instead of the base rate reduction. Well, listener, that was the headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesian President Joko Widodo chaired a close meeting to discuss about the Archipelagic Outlook, or locally called Wawasan Nusantara Bill, in his office on Tuesday. President Joko Widodo initially wanted the meeting to be held at the Bogor Palace, but decided to move it to the Presidential Palace in Jakarta. Tourism Minister Arief Yahya said that Indonesian tourism sector can be the biggest source of foreign exchange in 2020, overtaking oil and gas commodities. Indonesian Financial Service Authority OJK announces that two Indonesian issuers are nominated as ASEAN's top 50 issuers with the best good corporate governance (GCG) practice. The list is released by ASEAN Capital Market Forum (ACMF), which took place in Manila on Saturday. The implementation of Timber Legality Verification System (SPLK) became an important part of efforts to improve forest governance in the country to prevent illegal logging, encroachment, and forest fires. Chairman of the National Mandate Party, Pan Zulkifli Hasan, has confirmed that the party will support President Joko Widodo's administration. Pan, according to Zulkifli, will continue to support President Joko Widodo even if the party did not receive any seat in the cabinet. Indonesia will encourage the concept of tariff reduction from trade and products that contribute to rural development and poverty alleviation or development goods, with the modern and progressive approach that will be approved by member countries of Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation (APEC). Environment Agency of North Sumatra Province (BLH), North Sumatra and Japan International Cooperation Agency (JICA) started this month their cooperation in environmentally friendly domestic wastewater treatment. The first step of the cooperation is the installment of two units made in Japan domestic wastewater treatment tank, or Jokasu. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on the frequencies of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our radio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Belitung Culinary, Atep Noodle. So stay tuned. Listener, Belitung is known as Negeri Laskar Pelangi, or the Land of Rainbow Troops, a title of successful book and movie. Apparently, it doesn't only have a beautiful landscape, but also culinary that can make you addicted, namely Belitung noodle. Moreover, some even say that it is incomplete when visiting Belitung without tasting this most famous culinary. Listener, Belitung noodle is yellow noodle poured in shrimp sauce, served with shrimp bakwan, or fried meal consisting of vegetables and batter, cucumber slices, chunks of boiled potatoes, boiled shrimp, melinjo chips, and bean sprouts. To serve the food, first the yellow noodle is brewed for a moment. Then it is set with sprinkled bean sprouts, cucumber slices, chunks of boiled potatoes. Put the melinjo chips, and the last is pouring it with brownish creamy shrimp sauce. After that, a full-size shrimp is placed on it. The aroma of the shrimp sauce will be very appetizing, especially when it is still hot. that can make the belitung noodle delicious is the sauce. The brownie sauce with a fresh, savory, and sweet taste. But it is made from original shrimp's broth aided with spices, such as palm sugar, pepper, galangal, and salam leaves. Because belitung is famous with the seafood, belitung noodle is very identical with seafood. One of the ingredients used are shrimps as the material for sauce and shrimp bakwan. It can be added with chips made of seafood such as shrimp chips, squid chips, and fish chips. Listener, one of the famous places which sell belitung noodle is Mi Belitung Atap, located in the center of the town on Sriwijaya Street, Tanjung Pandan City, Belitung. Well, the name Atap is from the owner's name and the initiator of belitung noodle. The recipe has been handed down from generation to generation. One portion of belitung noodle is 10,000 rupiah. Belitung noodles are always fresh and new because it is made and served if there is an order from the customer. Usually, it is really enjoyable to have belitung noodles with a glass of jeruk kunci orange ice. We assure you that the culinary can make you want to immediately return to Belitung. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today featuring belitung noodle from Laskar Pelangi or Rainbow Troops Island. If you visit the island, don't forget to taste the delicious culinary. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Listeners, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a program which introduces vocabulary and idioms in Indonesian language along with its use in the conversation. Today's topic is membuka rekening tabungan, or in English means opening a saving account. So stay tuned. Listener, as usual, at first, I will present some vocabulary and idioms of Indonesian language related to today's conversation. I will say each word or phrase twice slowly. You can repeat after me. Membuka. Membuka, which means to open. Rekening tabungan. Rekening tabungan, which means saving account. Selamat pagi. Selamat pagi, which means good morning. Silakan, silakan, which means please. Mengambil, mengambil, which means to take. Nomor tunggu, which means waiting number. Nomor, nomor, which means number. 15, 15, which means 15. Loket dua, which means counter two. Rekening baru, which means new account. Membawa, which means to bring. Kartu identitas, which means identity card. Isi formulir, which means fill in the form. Sesuai dengan, which means in accordance with. Data, which means data. Setoran pertama, Setoran pertama, which means first deposit. Minimal, which means minimum. 500,000, 500,000, which means 500,000. Well, now here is a sample of a conversation related to our today's topic. The conversation is between an officer, or A, and Aris, or B. I will say every sentence 2 times slowly, and you can also follow after me. A. Nomor 15, silakan ke loket 2. Nomor 15, silakan ke loket 2. Which means, number 15, please go to counter 2. Selamat pagi, ada yang bisa saya bantu? Selamat pagi, ada yang bisa saya bantu? Which means, good morning, may I help you? B. Ya, saya ingin membuka rekening baru. Ya, saya ingin membuka rekening baru. Which means, yes, I want to open a new account. A. Apakah Anda membawa kartu identitas? Apakah Anda membawa kartu identitas? Which means, do you bring your identity card? Ya, ini kartu identitas saya. Ya, ini kartu identitas saya. Which means, yes, this is my identity card. A. Silakan isi formulir ini sesuai dengan data pada kartu pengenal Anda. Silakan isi formulir ini sesuai dengan data pada kartu pengenal Anda. Which means, please fill in the form in accordance with the data in your identity card. Setoran pertama, minimal Rp500.000. Setoran pertama, minimal Rp500.000. Which means, the first minimum deposit is Rp500,000. B. Baiklah, which means, okay. Listener, that was the end of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today, and hopefully it can be useful for you. And we'll meet again next week with another interesting topic. Thank you for your attention and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. I'm Hernita. In today's edition, I will introduce you to Airplay Band Group. Well, before we continue, let's listen to the first song by Airplay, entitled Ajariku. Enjoy the song.
Bagaimana ku melupakan
Listener, the band has experience to change its personnel, but it still exists to do their works. They actually strengthen their spirit in the Indonesian musical industry. Aeroplay Band was formed on May 12, 2013, which consisted of Iren, guitarist, Randy, bassist, Pika, vocalist, and Ari, guitarist. The four personnel are very confident to unite their music. Until Ari, the guitarist, decided to resign, and replaced by Felix, the drummer. They then agreed to be more serious in the music career. The name Aeroplay was taken from the word Ra, which is the fourth letter in Javanese language, and play in English. The two words mean four men who difference in character but has one vision in playing music. Aeroplay Band followed the national band competition sponsored by one of the fast food products in Indonesia. When they failed in the final of Jakarta level, they have no despairing. Then they decided to continue their work in Jakarta and gain the success to release the first single entitled Bicara Karena Cinta. Listener, let's listen to the next song by Aeroplay Band entitled Bicara Karena Cinta. Happy listening.
Memang bisa ku bicara, still aku ucapkan. Andai ku bisa ucapkan, harusnya engkau rasakan dari untukku saja.
Malay band offers a different music concept from other bands with modern pop rock nuances and good quality music from material of songs, arrangement, as well as the sound. The songs of Aeroplay band could be directly listened in their first album, entitled Aeroplay No. 1, distributed by Red Music Indonesia in cooperation with Speaker Production. The album was worked with nuances of fresh, beat-easy dance and easy-listening arrangement with a single Bukan Hanya Dirimu. The personal hope their songs can be accepted by all Indonesian music lovers. Before we conclude today's music corner, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Bukan Hanya Dirimu and Ku Mencintaimu by Aeroplay Band. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Kira aku terjatuh saat kau tinggalkan aku sendiri. Kau fikir aku terbuang saat kau merasa menang di cerita ini.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Masih mencintai.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.